recording. We'll just try that. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Lynn.
Thank you so much for honoring me with the, first of all, the responsibility to be one of your shepherds. It's an awesome responsibility and a great thing to be able to do. Secondly, thanks for allowing me to talk to you about God's Word this morning, and I really appreciate that opportunity. I want to begin with a little story about ministers and how they can make mistakes, and I hope that I don't make any this morning, but if I do, maybe this story will help you understand. There was a minister who made two horrible mistakes at the same time. Alicia can probably, maybe she can remember this story and tell it to Ken. So one Saturday afternoon, the phone rings at the circulation manager of the newspaper's home. He picks up the phone and there's a very angry person on the other end of the line. Just going on and on and on about not getting their newspaper and on and on and on. And he finally lets them calm down and says, well, what newspaper is it they're not getting? And the voice on the other side says, I pay for that Sunday paper. I want that Sunday paper. Get that Sunday paper to me now. He goes, well, sir, it's Saturday afternoon. Your Sunday paper will be delivered tomorrow morning. And he hears a muttering in the background. The guy goes, maybe that's why nobody showed up for church this morning. So let's hope that I don't make two huge mistakes at the same time. Let's start this morning's lesson in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, right at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Amen.
These five verses capture Jesus' last moments on earth during his first coming. And in the last three verses, there are three super important principles that we need to recognize. In these last three verses, Jesus lays out three things. He lays out the plan for his gospel and his church. He lays out the power behind his gospel and his church. And he lays out the promise. So three things: the power, the plan, and the promise. I know I set those out of order. That's the order that they're in here, but I want to talk about them in the order that I brought up. So remember, the power, the plan, and the promise. Let's start with the plan. We're going to find that in verse 19 and the first half of verse 20. He says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Does that not amaze you? Jesus is standing there talking to 11 men. Jesus' plan is to conquer the world with 11 men. The angels in heaven must have looked down and said, you've got to be kidding me. This is the plan. You're going to conquer the world. You're going to save the world. You're going to take the world with 11 men. What kind of men were these? Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 tells us what kind of men these were. This is what happened after Peter and John were called before the Sanhedrin for preaching Jesus. Jesus has gone into heaven, and now we're a few weeks or months later in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
Amen.
What kind of men were these 11 men? They were unschooled, ordinary men. You've got to be kidding me. This is God's plan. We are going to save the world. We are going to conquer the world with 11 unschooled, ordinary men. That's how they were viewed in that time, and that's how we're viewed in this time. Are you unschooled and ordinary? I never feel like I've learned enough. I'm unschooled. I'm always learning something. I'm pretty ordinary. I've had a lot of honors and great things come in my life, but I'm pretty ordinary. We're all unschooled, ordinary men and women.
That's right.
What was it that made these 11 unschooled, ordinary men capable of conquering the world? Where there are two other attributes assigned to them by these members of the Sanhedrin that I want to call to your attention. Let's read it again. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Yeah, they were unschooled and they were ordinary, but guess what? They had courage. They had courage. It was visible. These men were visibly courageous. When the members of the Sanhedrin saw the courage of Peter and John, they recognized it. So one of the important attributes that they had, along with being unschooled and ordinary, was courage. But the other thing that they recognized about them was these men had been with Jesus.
Amen.
Have you been with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Because though you're unschooled and though you're ordinary like me, if you have courage and you've been with Jesus, you can conquer the world. You can impress the greatest religious scholars of your time. And that's what happened with Peter and John. Yes, they had a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You've got the gift of the Holy Spirit if you've been with Jesus.
Amen.
Courage and being with Jesus will allow you and I to do the things that fall for the plan. Now, some people might argue, there were 11 guys there, 11 unschooled, ordinary men, great courage, they've been with Jesus. This command is just for them. Well, really? Well, if you tell me that, then I have to respond, how did Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Titus and Apollo and John Mark all get it wrong? How come they went out telling people about Jesus and about the gospel, if this was just for the 11 who stood there on that mountaintop on the day that Jesus rose into heaven? Absolutely not. This is for all disciples and followers of Jesus for all time. This is His plan. It is His only plan to save and conquer the world. So here we are, 20 centuries, 2 millennia, if you like to work in thousands, 2 millennia later. That's all gone by, and still the plan is in motion. How do we answer that? Well, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I better peel these out of here. That was my plan anyway. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What does this verse tell us? It tells us that even now, 2,000 and some years after this event occurred, that there are souls that are open to the gospel. There are souls around us that are receptive to the gospel, that are subject to repentance, that can be saved. The Lord is not slow about His promise. He's just patient. Because there are people around us who are open to the gospel, and we have not told them yet. We haven't talked to them about our Lord Jesus yet.
Sure.
And He is patiently waiting for that to happen. I looked up some statistics. The average American will hold a conversation with 10,000 people in their lifetime. The average American will come in contact with 80,000 people in their lifetime. Now, some of us are social butterflies, like Rhonda. We'll beat that 80,000 big time, huh? Some of us are more introverted, and so we'll maybe only come in contact with 40 or 50,000 in our lifetime. What I'm saying is God's plan is, as you have a conversation with those 10,000 people, as you and I come in contact with those 80,000 people, His plan is for us to mention to them our Lord and Savior, to plant that seed, to say something about who we are and who it is that we follow and who we love. And that is Jesus, our Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so the plan still is playing out 2,000 years after it was put in place there on the mountain. And those 11 men, even though they were unschooled and ordinary, through their courage and the fact that they had been with Jesus, they taught hundreds and thousands of people, who taught hundreds and thousands, to the point where followers of Christ number in the millions today. And yet, the plan is not complete. If it was complete, He'd have come back and taken us all home to heaven. So there are still people out there waiting for you and I, or one of our missionaries, to come in contact with and to say something about Jesus, to plant that seed. That's the plan. The power, going back to Matthew 28, is found there in verse 18. Let's go back and read it so we don't mess it up. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. So Jesus didn't just hand them a plan and then walk away. There's power behind the plan. And we're going to talk in a minute about the fact that there's a promise too. There is power behind this plan. What did Jesus say? All authority has been given to me. A little authority?
All
authority. He ascended into heaven then to be seated at the right hand of God. All authority for the time being handed over to Him. Does it look to you like Jesus is winning? Sometimes it doesn't. I guess what I would say is, if you and I don't see Jesus winning, then either our universe or our timeline are too small. Because all authority has been given to Him. Is Jesus going to win every heart? Is He going to win every battle, every day, every minute? No, He's not. But we need to stop focusing on those things and start focusing on the plan. So let's take a look at a couple of passages of Scripture. Let's look first at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 25 through 28. 1 Corinthians 15, 25 through 28. Remember, we're talking about the power behind the plan. Because a plan's got to have some power. No matter how much Dustin plans his drive to Gwinner tomorrow, he's got to have some diesel fuel to give it some power. Huh? Yeah, so there's got to be some power behind every plan. That's just the way it works. 1 Corinthians 15, 25 through 28. Oops, I get my eyes are getting old. Let me get here. "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." He must reign until every enemy has been put under his feet. "The last enemy to be destroyed is death." That's what happens on the last day. "For he has put everything under his feet." Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear this doesn't include God himself, who put everything under Christ. "When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all." And so Jesus reigns and Jesus rules at this point in time from the right hand of God, Jesus the Son. At the end of time, when death is conquered, he will hand the kingdom to the Father and we will all be one. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
That gives me goosebumps. Just to say it, gives me goosebumps. I so look forward to it. And Gary referenced the other passage that I want to talk about in Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans 8, 31 through 39. It's a little bit longer. Romans 8, 31 through 39. "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
There is the power behind the plan.
Exactly.
There is nothing except your and my bad decision that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. God, did you notice what it said there? God spared nothing to put this plan into place. In verse 32, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. God spared nothing to make this plan work. Absolutely nothing.
Amen.
And he ends this by saying, we are more than conquerors. You know, it's one thing to go into battle hoping you can conquer. It's quite another to go into battle knowing that your king already conquered. And that's where we sit. We enter a battle and a battleground every single day. And we have to battle with our temptations. We have to battle with our demons every single day. Our fears and our frights and our lack of focus, we battle with those things. But it's quite another thing to go into that battle knowing that your king already conquered it. He already defeated it. He already was there. He already fought that battle himself in the flesh and conquered it. I'd say, let's have a chat with him before we enter that battle, huh? Let's have a little talk with Jesus before we enter the battle. And so there we find the power behind the plan. And the final thing I want to talk about this morning is back in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And this is the promise behind the plan. He says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Man, if you can enter the day, enter the battle, enter the conversation, remembering that, you can conquer anything. You can do the plan. Surely I am with you. I don't come and go. No, I'm not here and there and a little bit. I am with you always. Okay? He said, all authority has been given to me, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Not just the end of the age, but the very end of the age. He is going to stick with you and me until the last enemy is conquered, and that enemy being death. It might be my death, it might be judgment, when all of us in this life, whatever it is, he is with us always till the end. To kind of back that up, I want to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and look at verses 19 through 25. This just kind of fleshes that out for us a little bit. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, my NIV says this, call to persevere. It calls us to persevere. Why? Because he's with us always to the very end of the age. He says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. You have confidence? Oh, yeah. You've got the power and the plan and the promise. You should have confidence. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. He says we have a great high priest, the great high priest, in whom is all authority, who authored the plan. He is the author and the completer of our faith. That great high priest shed his own blood for our salvation. That great high priest tore the veil and opened the access to the throne of God for us. That should give us confidence and hope. And he says, get together and talk about love. Talk about good deeds that you can do. Don't stop meeting together. Because in order to persevere, in order to understand the plan, to understand the power, to understand the promise, we need to spend time together. Yeah. And so there's another secret in there. Spend time together talking about God's plan, talking about the promise and the power. Remind one another that at some point in your life, you're going to have the chance to talk to 10,000 people. At some time in your life, you're going to have the chance to come in contact with 80,000 people. Talk about the plan. If you must start by talking about the weather, fine. But before you're done, talk about the plan. All right? We talk about the stock market. We talk about politics. We talk about all this. But the plan is at the center of it all. And the plan is accompanied with power and with a promise. In just a minute, we're going to sing a song. Great choice of song this morning, Brother Rod. It asks a question. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? There it is. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's the plan. Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? There's the promise. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Brothers and sisters, let's not forget that the last moments that Jesus spent on earth, He challenged 11 ordinary, uneducated men to put His plan into practice. He promised them that He would be with them always to the very end of the age. And He reminded them that all power had been handed over to Him. How can we not succeed?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, what an awesome day to be together and to talk to one another about the plan, the promise, and the power. Maybe we have, out of fear or some other reason, walked away from the plan. Or maybe we have never started participating in the plan. If that is your situation this morning, talk to somebody about that. Come forward and talk to the whole congregation about it. We will pray for you. We will help you to be a part of the plan. That may be a beginning by being baptized in the water. It's ready. That may be an encouragement. It may be a promise to pray for you all week long until I see you again. I don't know what it'll look like. But let's not forget God's plan, His promise, and His power. Let's stand.
Amen.
Amen.